Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Well, hey, church family, good to be gathered with you in this way. Thank you, Connie Nineswander, for reading for us. Appreciate your willingness to read scriptures for us. We are blessed by that, and we are blessed by just the ability to read the scriptures. Thank you, Connie. When I say the word blessed, what do you think of? When you hear the word blessed, what comes to mind? I think most often the people that talk about blessings are people that are talking about blessings as a kind of a trivial convenience. Hashtag blessed. That's what I see and hear most often this word in our culture. I was hashtag blessed for something. I was hashtag blessed for going and getting the last scone at the coffee shop. Hashtag blessed. My Buccaneers are in the playoffs. Hashtag blessed. Or I was going 15 miles over the speed limit down the highway, and the police officer had already pulled somebody else over on the side of the road, and I went right on by. Hashtag blessed. One of those three things is true of me, not the speeding one. Just want to be clear. Don't speed. Save a life. but those seem to be the statements that that receive the blessed hashtag. I guess you would say. Those are the kinds of statements that our society calls being blessed. And I have a pretty strong opinion about that. And I think that the Bible, I hope the Bible informs my opinion. I think it backs up my opinion on this. Don't cheapen blessings. Don't cheapen God in that way. Our world wants to be blessed. We want to consider being blessed, but often we find that we don't want to be a blessing. That we aren't blessings to others. And I'm grateful to be part of a church that is a blessing to others. It brings me great joy to be a part of this community that knows how to bless others. No, we're not just people that say hashtag blessed, but we know how to be a blessing. We'll just cross that hashtag out. And in this series, this is the start of a new series for us. In this series, I hope we are going to dive deeper and deeper into some blessings. Both blessings that are received, but also being blessings to others. So we're going to be talking about the Beatitudes. Why do we call them the Beatitudes? It's a great question. Should they be our attitude? Let's hold off on that. That is not how you spell attitude. It's missing a T. You can check right here. This is the way to spell it. But But for another thing, that's not how the word Beatitudes was formed. The word Beatitudes comes from the Latin beati, which is apparently how you say that. But it's Latin for the Greek word that we find in the text that Connie Nineswander read for us, Makarios, which basically means blessed, blessed. And so this word, Greek word Makarios, which was translated into Latin beati, is where we get the word Beatitudes from, because for much of the church's life, the church through all times, through much of the church's life, the scriptures were engaged with primarily in Latin. So the Beatitudes that we're going to be exploring that are in Matthew chapter 5, part of the Sermon on the Mount, the very opening chapter, these are the Beatis, the Blesseds. That's what they are known as. And in this series, we are going to go through these Beatitudes. We are going to go deeper on some of them than others, but we will talk about all of them. But today we're going to lay a little bit of the groundwork and dig deeper into one of them. We're talking about things that we want to remember both throughout this series and in our lives studying the scriptures. And I know that this might sound like Bible trivia to us, that this might sound like just a lot of information. This may surprise you. I don't actually like or have a ton of use for Bible trivia. I'm not very interested in Bible trivia. That may sound really weird for a pastor to say. I have devoted my life to following Jesus. My job as a pastor is to help us connect with God, with Jesus. And one of the main ways that we do that is through the Bible. That's certainly a main way we do it. But Bible trivia it's not our goal. I knew a youth pastor in his youth group. He had the state Bible trivia champion. For one thing, I didn't know that was a thing. State Bible trivia, you can go to states, and this kid actually went to nationals for it, national Bible trivia champion. And he could tell you how many cubits wide the temple was, who Abraham's third son's wife was, all of that. And then when this Bible trivia champion turned 18, he left the church. He abandoned faith, became an atheist, and left God behind. Trivia, information, is not our goal as a church family. Transformation is what we want and what we seek. We want our lives to be transformed by Jesus, not talking about what King David's third son, what his name was. And so when we talk about information about the Bible, like we're going to talk about in just a couple seconds, we're talking about that because I think that information can help us in our journey of being transformed to be more and more like Jesus. And I think you'll see why. The Beatitudes, if you want to flip there in Matthew chapter 5, I'm actually not going to put the Beatitudes up on the screen since we're going to talk pretty much through phrase by phrase for the next couple of weeks. But each Beatitude in Matthew chapter 5, the opening verses, is put into two distinct parts. There is the first part of the Beatitude. Blessed are the meek. This is the first part. This is the part that identifies who the person that is blessed is, their identity. And then you have the second part. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. For basically meaning because. And just for those of you curious, I went back to the NIV translation of these Beatitudes. Just because it's what I grew up with, it's what I remember being being home. So if you are using a different translation, that's absolutely okay. We're just going to stick with the NIV here. But you've got this, you've got the identity and that who is being blessed, who is blessed for, because, and then it talks about why. This person is blessed because, or why are they blessed? And most of the time, when we talk about the Beatitudes, when we teach the Beatitudes, we kind of teach them backwards. Instead of starting here, we start over here. We start with, okay, for they will inherit the earth. All right, that sounds pretty good. I like that. I could see inheriting the earth being a positive thing. All right, so that's what I want. What do I do to get that? Be meek. All right. Be meek, inherit the earth. That's how we often see these phrases taught. And that can be okay, but in this series, we're not going to focus that way. Instead, I want us to focus on who is being blessed. And just for clarification, this is not the hashtag blessed that we see going around Instagram. We are talking about people that are being blessed, but I also think they are a blessing to others. And that reminds me of what God has done throughout the ages. We see this time and time again if you read through the scriptures, Old Testament and New, that people who are blessings to others are blessed. And God blesses people so that for them to be a blessing to others. And so I don't want to approach the Beatitudes as a formula, as something where A plus B equals C. We're not trying to get there. This is not a formula so much as I think what are divine observations of both what is and what will be. And we see that with the first Beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There's actually a similar series of statements in Luke chapter 6. I think it's Luke 6:20. Jesus says something similar. Let me put that back up on the screen. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's in Matthew. In Luke chapter 6, which is what is often called Jesus' Sermon on the Plain, it says, blessed are the poor, for theirs are the kingdom of heaven. No poor in spirit, just blessed are the poor, nothing else there. And I think when we look at Matthew's version, poor in spirit, and when we look at something similar in Luke, I think there are some interesting connections we can make both between each other, those two passages, and then with the Psalms as well. I think many of you know that Caitlin is a little over halfway through her master's program from the Fresno Pacific Biblical Seminary. You might not know this, little extra tidbit for you. Pastor Susan and I are also in a course this semester. We're taking a course called The Anabaptist Story from Tabor College. It's actually one of the requirements to be a pastor in our denomination. You have to take a couple of courses within, I think it's 5 years of being hired. And this is the last course I have to take, and I think, unless I'm mistaken, or I just didn't see it, this is the first time it's been offered since I've been here for the last 3 years. If you're thinking about it, be praying. This course is full, F-U-L-L. This book right here, Mennonite History, going through some of the later history of Mennonites and the Mennonite Brethren. This right here, this is the smaller, less dense textbook in our course. Susan, this is also your book. It'll be in your office waiting for you. But be praying for Pastor Susan and I. It is going to be a full couple of weeks. But in Caitlin's studies, She is actually studying how to read the Bible, biblical interpretation. And one of her assignments was actually to do a paper on a book called The Destiny of the Righteous in Psalms. And this author, Jerome Kriek, he talks about the righteous in Psalms, and he makes an observation that I think is really helpful for us as we look at the Beatitudes and being poor in spirit in general. He says the righteous in the Psalms are often described as poor, powerless, or needy. He goes through a list several times this is the case, and he goes further to say that the experience of being righteous, the experience of the righteous has produced an attitude of dependence on God and on God's reign. He actually talks about this beatitude in his book, that the righteous are righteous because they are poor in spirit. That those who are righteous are that way because they are poor in spirit, because they recognize their spiritual poverty. They recognize they need God. There is no such thing as earned grace. There is no such thing as earned grace. It doesn't exist. Righteous people are righteous not because of their actions, but because they recognize they need God. They need God, and it's God who declares them to be righteous. When we talk about righteous people in our world, we usually take a look at things backwards. We do the math backwards. We say, hey, look, they're doing something good here. They're going to another country to help them with food insecurity, or a teacher that gives of herself. She's giving of herself to her students. That's righteous. Or the student over here that is breaking up a fight in the hallway, that's a righteous thing. We look and we see these actions and we say, that's a righteous person. And all of those are good and wonderful actions, but the calculus is actually the other way around. It's what came before that action. That's how that person is righteous. And they do whatever action we said makes them righteous because of what came before, because they recognized their need. They recognized their need of God, and it's God's response that makes them righteous, and it is God's response that drives them to do further wonderful, good things. Because it's God that makes people righteousness, not our actions. It's not our actions that we can do to make us righteous. Don't let somebody pull the wool over your eyes. Don't let somebody tell you that in order for God to love you, in order for you to be a Christian, you need to do dot, dot, dot. Don't let somebody make things appear to be somehow an action-based economy. There are absolutely things that we as Christians can and should do. But the start, the beginning is not linked to what we can do, but what God does. That God declares us to be righteous when we repent, when we come before Him, when we recognize our spiritual need and our poor in spirit. Now, you might fairly ask, what does all this talk of righteousness have to do with us? We have to recognize our need. There is no such thing as earned grace. One of the cultural myths that we see in our culture time and time again is that we have earned what we have. We've earned stuff. Everything we've gotten, we have earned. At least that's what we say when things are going well. Maybe we say other things when they aren't. But that we have earned everything that we have. And I don't want to take too much away from that, because what we do, what we say, how we act, it really matters. And if your boss is not taking you seriously at work, and it's because you don't work very well, you don't work hard, and you don't put in effort, that's probably why. It's not that it's not something else. What you have done, how you are acting, really matters. But the problem comes when we try and apply all of this to God. If I just do this for God, or if I just do that, if I shout really loudly at that person over there who I think God is against, I'll earn God's forgiveness, I'll earn God's grace. The kingdom of heaven will be mine. And here in the first beatitude, we get corrected. The ones who have the kingdom of heaven are the ones who are poor in spirit, the ones who recognize their need for God, who depend on God. I think it's worth asking how you recognize that you depend on God. Are you depending on God? Do you recognize how you need God today? And if that's something that's a little bit difficult or a bit of a struggle for you, I want to encourage you to participate in our listening prayer time. Just a time where we sit, where we listen to God, we invite God, God speak to us, and let's listen. This is not... we chose listening prayer on purpose. This is not, you know, just us spinning the, it's over here, the big wheel of spiritual disciplines and rotating it and seeing what we come up with for the month of January. We chose to do listening prayer on purpose because when we listen to God, we recognize our need for Him. We want to be listening to God because spending God is literally our goal as Christians. We are trying to spend our time with God because if we spend more time with God, if we are devoted to Him more, if we depend on Him more, we become better humans. And we are better equipped to help our world and help others discover Him. And the more that we listen to God, the more we realize that we need Him, that we depend on Him in ways that we did not recognize before. So even if you haven't done our listening prayer time in the last 2 weeks, I want to encourage you, take some time. 30 minutes is all. 30 minutes. We do it on Tuesday nights from 7 to 7:30. If that doesn't work for you, choose another time. But take some time and listen. Listen to what God is doing. Listen to what God has for you. And listen for the ways that you might depend on God that you might not have seen before. I think one other response, there are probably many, but one other response I want to highlight to this passage, it is appropriate when we read this passage to remember, to be reminded that one of the things we as Christians do is we take care of those that are poor, that rely on God. For many of us, we have money, we have some measure of wealth so that we are able to go purchase the food we need. Many times, we're able to feel secure in that, and we don't depend on God in quite the same way. We have to work at it intentionally. And for many of our brothers and sisters in Christ, for many of our friends in our world that are poor, that are homeless, that have significant needs, they are dependent on God. Now, many of them might not like me using that language. Some people might not like that, but they're dependent on something that God has given all of us. They're dependent on people's compassion in generosity. They have needs. And so I think that another very valid response to this beatitude is doing what you can to help the poor. And that might mean donating to the rescue mission. This month, our church is collecting soup and ramen, you heard Pastor Susan say. It might mean taking stuff that you got around Christmas time and taking it to a thrift store and donating it so that something that you don't need and is cluttering up your home can actually be used by somebody else who can't afford to pay full retail price for it. Quite frankly, you might be poor yourself. You might be somebody listening to this who is in need or who has some needs. It is okay to ask for help. It doesn't mean that help is always given or given in the way that you may have hoped, but it is okay to ask for help. Being poor is not a sin, even if our culture has tried to make it one, has tried to imply that it is. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, we can find a way to help. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. I want to counsel you in response to this passage, in response to this beatitude, listen to what God is saying, what God is doing. Listen to how you are dependent on God, maybe in ways that are unexpected, and consider helping those that are poor. By doing this, you will be shown to be righteous, not by your action, but because you recognize that you have need of God and are acting out in response. Because you have put your hope, your trust, your dependence in Him. Choose a way to respond this week, and let's pray that God gives us the strength to do so. God Almighty, you are good. You bless us, even when we don't deserve it, especially when we don't deserve it. We don't earn your blessings, Lord. You give them generously. And yet at the same time, we want to respond. We recognize our dependence on you, that we are poor in spirit, that we have spiritual needs, that we may have physical needs, Lord. We recognize our dependence on you. As we go through this week, we ask and we pray that you would help us to see those needs, that you would help us be mindful, bring them to our minds, make us more aware. We ask and we pray that you would help us to respond as well. That when we encounter people that have needs, that rely on generosity of others, that are dependent on you, God, whether they would say so or not, that you would help us to respond well. Help us take care of people that have needs in our community, whether it's people that we know or people that we don't. We ask, Lord, that you help us respond. Make us dependent on you. Give us generous hearts. And Lord God, may your kingdom, may the kingdom of heaven come soon. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. May the God of all creation convict you of your desperate need for Him, and may you rely on Him fully. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Church family, go be blessed and be a blessing to others. Take care. Go in peace.